We're continuing here in Psalm 68. We got to verse 18 there. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that Yahuwah, God, might dwell among them. And there we have it. It's interesting. I always try to pay attention to this, and it says Yah here instead of where it says the Lord. So you have just plain Yah instead of Yahuwah in the Hebrew, so that Yah, God, might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Yes, are you, have you been paying attention? Are you being daily loaded with benefits? Yes, I am loaded every day with benefits. I have the benefit of a brand new day, the benefit of serving Him another day, the benefits, just everything that He gives me, all of the opportunities to live a life of obedience to Him and to enjoy all of His benefits. Verse 20, He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. And, you know, I looked into this. We have Yah, we have Yahuwah, and then we have here Yahuwah. And I looked into this, and it says here, let's see, in order to prevent repetition of the same sound, since they elsewhere pronounce 3068, and so on. And that's, I was wondering about the differences, because sometimes it's Yahuwah, and here it says Yahuwah, and our good friend Strong's, and I'm looking at chapter 68, verse 20, where it says unto God, whereas Yahuwah would be translated the Lord. He just translates it here in the authorized version as capital G-O-D. And it says here, to prevent repetition of the same sound, they pronounce the name differently. And perhaps it was because they were singing it in Hebrew that they would pronounce it differently, because they were, it was actually what I guess you would call that today. You would call that artistic license. They took artistic license with the name to pronounce it differently. And if you ever wondered about that, but most people probably never even noticed that the Hebrews had different ways to pronouncing the name. So we have Yahuwah, Yahuwah, and of course then they use just plain Yah. But our explanation from our good friend Strong's is that in order to prevent repetition of the same sound. So we'll call it artistic license. That He is our God, is the God of our salvation, and unto Yahuwah, the Lord, belongeth the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of His enemies, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. So, if you've given your life to our Heavenly Father, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord, and you said the sinner's prayer, walked down the Romans road, whatever you did, and call yourself a believer, it says here that He shall wound the head of His enemies and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. And what that means is those that don't truly repent, because there's repentance, you know, saying the words repentance and saying, I'm sorry. And some people call that repentance and they think that's enough, but it's not enough, because that's repentance in word only. If you goeth on still in your trespasses, then you haven't truly repented. Those that truly repent are those that learn obedience. doesn't mean you become perfect, perfectly sinless for the rest of your life. Once you repent, it means that you learn obedience. It means you may fall down 7 times, as the scripture says, the righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up, and until he learns how to walk. And many of you fathers, mothers out there, parents, you know that your child just didn't get up and walk like a horse. The programming just ain't in the brain. Something different about the programming of people. I see the little chicks, they hatch out of the eggs and they're up and walking around and pecking at the ground. Because that's the programming that our Heavenly Father, our Creator, gave them, that they can't live without it. The colt gets up and walks immediately. The programming's right in there, built right in. But he programmed us a little differently. We have to learn how to walk. And so it is when we repent. We have to learn how to walk. We don't just get up like the colt, but we learn how to walk. And when we enter into his kingdom, when we repent, we still fall down. But we keep getting back up until we learn obedience. That's what it means to repent, to truly repent. Yes, the words come first. Yes, the emotions and the feelings come with those words first, but that is not repentance. Remember Yahshua, Jesus talked about the parable of the sower. And so you see those that truly repented, they all repented. Yes, they all repented emotionally. They went through the motions at first. They felt, you know, they felt the feelings. They said the right words or had the right thoughts or said the right prayer or however it was that their change in their life came about, but not many endured. And he who endures to the end shall be saved. I just had to throw that in there because not many endured. And why did they not endure? Because that repentance never turned into works. Bring forth the works meet for repentance. As it says here in the Psalms, it says, I just lost my place there. Oh, yes, there we go. Psalm 68, verse 21. It says, goeth on still in his trespasses. So we know that he will wound the head of his enemies and the hairy scalp of one as of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. So here's talking about the enemies that he's going to wound, and such a one that continues after their wound in their trespass. So how much more applicable is that to us that call him our Lord? Continuing, the Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. Well, I just learned a little something. I guess every culture, it would seem, has, well, not every culture, subcultures eat dogs, but I guess in Israel, they had dogs too, or pets, because it says that that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies. And if you know anything about war, well, if you're fighting a battle, you won't want to be stepping in your enemy's blood, not your own. And it says, and the tongue of your dogs in the same, because of course, dogs will lick up the blood of anything. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregation, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of bulls, and the calves of the people, till every one submit himself with pieces of silver, Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Warmongers. Yes, who delights in war? War is a terrible thing, a necessary thing. There's a time for it, but those that delight in it will be scattered. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O, sing praises unto the Lord, to him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old. Lo, he doth send out his mighty voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. And of course, here in Psalm 68, verse 35, where it says, O God, thou art terrible. I guess the word that we would use today, thou art awesome, you know, because that's what terrible meant. And in the older English, and words do change meaning. Terrible now, well, would be more representable to terror. And yes, he would be a terror to the wicked and to all of those that that love idolatry. He is a terror to them. But we would use the word awesome for us. And I'll tell you, people throw around the word awesome like it's nothing. You know, this is awesome, that's awesome. Hey, that's, oh, that's awesome. You know, and people just, awesome, awesome, awesome. And I go, you know, it's almost like lying, because most of what people say is awesome is not even awesome at all. You know, it's like no big deal. It's like ordinary. You know, now ordinary has become awesome. Well, you know, if ordinary is awesome, well, then, I don't know. Some people need to get a life. I prefer to reserve the word awesome only for my God and the works that and the things that he has done and the promises that he made. Now, they are awesome, that he has saved me from my sin. That's awesome. Him riding upon the heavens is awesome. His creative power is awesome. His technology is awesome. You know, we can't come near it. You know, you got your new tech computers, your big screen TVs, and your cell phones, and you think that's awesome. That ain't nothing. You know, it's nothing compared to what he has done, and nothing compared to what we will have when that last trump sounds and we are changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ are raised, and then we will know what awesome is, like we have never known, and everything that anyone has ever called awesome will pale. So if you're out there throwing awesome at everything that's just ordinary, well, I don't know. I think people just hear it and it sounds, it's cliquish. So people adopt and do things that are cliquish because maybe it makes them sound cool, right? And I don't mean cool as in temperature wise. Okay, we'll move on here. Chapter 69. There we go. Psalm 69 and verse 1. To the chief musician upon, we got a new word here, Shoshanah. Anyway, Shoshanim. And what does that mean? It's another Hebrew word that the translators neglected to, translate for us. As a flower or architectural ornament. Now, see, you'd have never known that, would you? You'd have just, most people just read it and skipped over it without looking it up. Upon Shoshanim, it's a flower or architectural ornament. And, our trumpet. Ah, also a straight trumpet. You know, and that's what I would say here, since this is music, that it's a trumpet from the tubular shape. And that's where they get the architectural ornament. I guess they named the trumpet after an architectural shape, apparently. So, upon the trumpet, a psalm of David. So now when I read this, you have to hear trumpets. There you go. a Psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters are coming unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. And yes, there's a piece called Flood by, Jars of Clay. It's just beautiful. That just, you know, you can feel this. Of course, I don't think there's many trumpets in that rendition, but anyway, it's a beautiful piece. Just reminds me of that. And, that's what it's really about, is this type of, or this psalm anyway. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, bring mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee but be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. And what is David saying here? He's borne reproach. He's saying, let those that wait on you not be ashamed because of my reproach, because of the things that have come upon me. Don't let them look at me and despise you. You know, it's like so many good men and evil men in the ministry have fallen, and some for righteousness' sake are persecuted, and some for sin's sake are reproached. And so what David would be saying here is that don't let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake. So regardless of what happens to the righteous, good or ill, whether persecution or they fall because of their own sin, let it not keep you from our Heavenly Father, as it does. Many people will use that as an excuse to despise God, to continue in their idolatry, because they'll see the righteous man fall, or those posing as righteous fall from their own wickedness, and then they'll see the persecution of the righteous with false accusations brought against them, and they'll use that as an excuse to continue in their idolatry and sin. But I'll tell you what, when the day comes, when the trumpet sounds, well, they won't be there. They won't rise from the dead. They'll be waiting for that second resurrection while they're over there with the rich man who didn't make it to paradise and just wanted Lazarus to drop a drop of water on his tongue. They'll be over there waiting for their judgment day, the second resurrection, the resurrection of the damned to judgment. And all of their excuses will just fall away. Everything that they thought to continue in their idolatry and their unrighteousness and their wickedness, all of the excuses they made, well, I can't follow God. Look at what that religious leader did, how he fell into sin, or he was with that prostitute or whatever. And how about those trumped up charges that they brought against that other guy and put him in prison? And when those charges didn't stick, they trumped up some other ones, so they could persecute that man and put an end to his work. And then they just revel in it so they can continue. Really, all they're doing is justifying themselves. All they're doing is saying, look at those guys. I'm not that bad. If this is godliness, then surely my wickedness and my idolatry is A-okay. That's all they're saying, that I can stand before God and God will excuse me if he excuses them. And all of it will fall away. And not only will they be convicted for their idolatry and their wickedness, but they'll be punished for all of the accusations that they brought against the righteous men of God. They'll be punished for their persecution of his holy people and those that called on his name. They would not enter into his kingdom. They would not even see their sin or repent. They just continued in their wickedness. It'll be a sad day for them, the day that they die. Because, yes, we all shall surely die. That death sentence has been going on from the day that Adam and Eve ate that fruit. The Heavenly Father proclaimed, "In the day you eat of, you shall surely die." And each one of us, we have that death sentence on us, because we all shall surely die. Only a fool would ignore that fact, but there are plenty of fools out there not making preparation for the day that they shall surely die. There's a no more important day to make preparation for than that one, because that is the threshold of eternity. And if you don't, if you just, all you think about is this short life, then you're going to be in for a rude awakening. "Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my name's sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel, because for thy sake I have borne reproach." And yes, if we ever bear reproach, let it be for his sake. And that's what David says here. And all of those righteous that are suffering reproach today unjustly for his sake. Let us, if we suffer reproach, let it be for his sake. "Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me." Yes, if a reproach is going to fall upon me, let it be the reproaches of them that reproach our Creator. Let those reproaches fall upon me. "When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them." And we'll pick up here when we get back from the break. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to take a break here for the news. We'll see you after that.